It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Monday morning is upon us, and now, my dear, we are in the dog days of summertime here in Texas.
The hot, hot time.
But we're going to lighten the mood here with some time in the Scripture. Every Monday morning is our special time for that. And friends, I hope wherever you are in the United States, it's not quite as hot where you are as it is where we are in Texas. But let's bring some fresh air into this, a wind of the Spirit, and pay attention to God's Word and start the week off right, shall we?
So we're in John chapter 8 now, and we begin on verse 21. In the Holman Christian Standard. Then he said to them again, I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said again, he won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You are from below, he told them. I am from above. You are of this world and I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Who are you? They questioned. Precisely what I've been telling you from the very beginning, Jesus told them. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true. And what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world. Right here, it sounds to me like he's like, I've got an opinion of my own, but I'm not going to share it because I'm going to listen to what the Father is telling me.
Perhaps it's part of the spiritual discipline that even Jesus has to put himself through. Listen to the Spirit and obey.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Continuing in verse 27. They did not know he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus responded, I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me because my word is not welcome among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. Therefore, you do what you have heard from your father. Our father is Abraham, they replied. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus told them, you would do what Abraham did.
Well, they've said it a few times now. We are the right ones. We are Abraham's children. Who are you? And they keep asking the question, but of course, like we talked about in last week's program, they don't really want the answer. It's a rhetorical question.
No.
They keep throwing the question, expecting the person just to shut up and not actually answer it.
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot of political rhetoric nowadays, with a lot of people throw a lot of aspersions on each other, and they do smack talk, and they don't really listen. They don't intend to listen. It's a spirit. I mean, it's a spirit of a time. It's a spirit of the self.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to self-justify. It's been with us for a very long time, since the beginning.
Well, we never like to be wrong. We don't like to be proved wrong by someone.
And we certainly don't even like to be questioned about the possibility that we might be wrong about something, especially if we've dedicated our lives and our character and all of our time to building up this construct of ourselves as being reliable, as being authoritative. We don't want people to question that.
Yeah. He begins to chip away at their belief system. We find that happening a lot in our world today. Our belief system gets chipped away, and the things that we've held on to for so long, we're realizing, some of us, parts of those things are not things that we need to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just crumbling before us. And that's a good thing. Now, there are things that we definitely stand on firm, the foundations of Jesus Christ. But that's the point here, I think.
Well, I think we're challenged to stand firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but we don't allow ourselves to be examined much on what we think that is either.
Yeah.
The Word of God is supposed to be the one that informs us first and totally. And if there's ever a question that's not resolved between people's opinions, to take it back to the Word and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the Holy Spirit to come make truth apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to have to say this at a time like this, but the truth matters.
It does.
It always has mattered.
Yeah.
And if we're unwilling to recognize that God is the author of truth, because if Satan is the author of lies, then he's putting himself up in opposition to the Father. Mm-hmm. And the Father says, no matter what the devil tells you, it is born of lies, because even if it's the facts of the case, he's going to spin it in the way that leads you far away from my mm-hmm. son. Mm-hmm. And if it leads us to Jesus, the real Jesus, not the one that we want to make in our own image, but the one that's actually in the Word, the one that did what he said what he was going to do, and lived contrary to the prevailing ethic of the time, countercultural to the people he was living with, seeming to try to break down the entire edifice, which was Judaism. He wasn't, of course, but they felt like he was. Of course he was a rebel to them.
Yeah.
He's still a rebel. We talk these days about the tension between freedoms and law and order and those kind of things. And Jesus walks into the midst of all that like he did back then and says, that's not the question. The question is whether or not there's a world system and a heavenly system. If there is a heavenly system, I'm going to call it the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's the real kingdom, the one that will last forever. Everything else is just the world system. It could be a good system, it could be a bad system, but it's not mine. Mm-hmm. It's not my kingdom. And yet my kingdom is being established and is present all around you right now. There are plenty of people, honey, that are trying to right now make it sound like it is not worth saving the world.
Mm, yeah.
They would have us just hunker down, wait for the end times, and wait for Jesus to rescue us out of the pit that we've dug for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I remember growing up, our pastor used to say, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And maybe that rings true with what you're saying, is that if we are so focused on the end times, like you said, or our future with Christ in heaven, then we tend to not see what's happening around
us. And we're not with him now.
Right.
And the whole point of the kingdom of God was that God was establishing it in Jesus and proclaiming sovereignty. Mm. It was the church regnant, reigning supreme over all the other moral systems, but it was not a system of this world, nor was it ever supposed to be the one that makes all the laws. It was the one that was supposed to follow him no matter what. And in doing that, to transform and change the world in a very, very positive way. When that has happened over history, it's been a beautiful, beautiful thing. When it's been twisted and abused, it's been a horrible thing. I wanted to ask you, too, about what you think Jesus is saying by, when I am lifted up, then you'll know that I and the Father are one, that come from the Father. Mm. What do you think he's saying by that?
Well, he's predicting his own death here. He's saying, I'm going to be lifted up because of you and for you. And if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins.
So they already are dead in their sins.
Right.
I don't know that he's necessarily predicting just his death. He's saying something is going to happen to them when I am. Those who are opposed to Jesus, when they actually see him lifted up, something happens that they can't shake off. Those witnesses, ones that were actually there in Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion, experienced something that others have said was traumatic.
I'm sure.
To the world. The Gospels say that the world itself literally darkened, mm-hmm. that there was darkness from the hours of 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's like a whole lid was dropped on earth, and there was a great sorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain that, being distant from it, other than to say that the Word of God seems to be at a loss for words about what happened to Jesus in that time and how those present who experienced it lived to tell the tale and then couldn't even say it. It was so traumatic. So I think he's saying something specific about the human experience in encountering the truth. It's not always a pleasant thing. Mm-hmm. And that truth was the ultimate truth, that God himself, what is he saying, he's going to kill himself?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in some ways he was. It is weird to think about the crucifixion as being anything less than a murder, but when God says, I'm allowing it to happen, in fact, I'm driving humanity towards this ultimate sacrifice, he is making people complicit in his own suicide, is what it feels like when you look at it from the outside.
That's harsh.
And why would God kill himself? Because no one else could. You know, that's the weird part. That's a paradox of our theology of the cross, which is, no one has the right to take God's life, nor would they have the power to overcome him. Satan certainly couldn't do it, and he's the most powerful creature in all of creation below God.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to compete with even Satan in trying to bring God down unless he himself puts himself on the altar, unless he becomes both Abraham and Isaac and commits the greatest atrocity ever known to man? Everything about the crucifixion is troubling in every sense. We can't escape that fact. So I think whether they want to admit it or not, their prophecy was actually true. God was going to commit suicide in such a way that something that had never had been could become real for them. No man that was alive at the time or has been alive since the time of Adam really knows what it's like to be free in their conscience completely. Mm-hmm. To be free to go anywhere, to do anything, and not worry about the consequences or about selfishness creeping in to ruin things, to destroy families, or to put ourselves in physical or emotional or moral danger. Never since the Garden of Eden have we been that innocent and that pure in our love for anything or anyone. Mm. And now Jesus is saying, behold, I do a new thing. And that's what I think is so amazing about this story. Jesus is setting himself up to be doing the worst thing imaginable, to die violently, and turn that into something that makes the impossible possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As confusing as these words are that he says about being lifted up and the Father is with me and I don't do anything on my own, all these things that he's saying in the verses here, 28 through 29, people still believed him. People were moved by his words and moved by the things that he said and came to believe in him. And Jesus says, continue in my word. If you do that, then you're really my disciples and you really will begin to understand this truth that I'm speaking and it will set you free. But here's the catch on that. That phrase really set them off. Mm-hmm. We're descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone, which is funny to me because that's precisely what they are right now to the Romans. They are a captured peoples. They live under the authority of the Romans. They really aren't all that free.
They're under the authority of sin. In other words, sin proclaims judgment on them. They may commit sins, but the spirit of sin is the ruling paradigm in earth, even is today. We fight against it. We try to set up world systems to try to tamp down the effects of sin on mankind and keep people safe from the sins of others. But the sin itself is apparently the supreme authority over humanity. And Jesus is saying, you're going to die in your sins because you're here. But I think he's also saying because you don't want to leave either. Mm-hmm. You want to be in control of this world system. You don't want to escape it, really. I'm not from this world. In other words, I'm outside the system. I don't have to play by these rules. And yet I come here to make sure that the rules I do play by are the ones that prevail. He injects himself into this world system, not as a person seeing things, but as a force to do what his Father wants done, which is love as the prime ethic. Mm. He wants to see love pervade in every way imaginable. And through him, it's going to be through sacrifice primarily. Mm. But everything else he did too was love in action. Mm. The words he said, the rebukes he spoke, the tendernesses he extended, the friends he made, the gentleness he expressed, all of these things are from that heart and from the emotion, from the power of love in action. Mm-hmm. And that is the kingdom he's talking about. For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Let's pivot now to The Dynamic Gospel for this same passage.
Again, in the middle of the sermon, Jesus was continuing what he had to say about the nature of God. Verse 21, Even after I'm through with my work and have headed home, you will still be stumbling around chasing your idea of liberator. You can't go where I'm going. You're already so wildly off the mark, you'll never figure out where this was all leading, much less follow me there, even in death. To die completely deluded. What a tragedy. So he thinks we can't track him down? The officials asked. Can't follow him where he's going? Or is he just planning to kill himself and leave us all behind? Well, that would save us some trouble. Jesus answered, You're stuck at the bottom of a well, head first, sucking muck. There you will stay. I've got my head on straight. And it will stay that way. Heaven sent me, and heavens I remain. Let me make this as clear as I can. Your misguided, pompous arrogance is killing you. If you refuse to acknowledge who I really am, you'll die a double death. Who do you think you are? The official screamed back at him. Only what I've told you 1,000 times already. And I haven't changed from what I told you then, Jesus answered. I could spend all day accusing you to the Father, but he already knows what you're made of. It's not worth wasting my breath. My mouth is reserved for what he wants to tell you. The religious leaders refused to acknowledge that Jesus was speaking for the Father. No surprise there. Then Jesus said, When you should be exalting me, you will lift me up instead. Only then will your hearts be pricked enough to admit that I am the one, that I do nothing out of selfish ambition, that I simply brought the God-breathed truth to you. The Father sent me, but he didn't abandon me. His constant approval is evidence enough that I do what pleases him. The power of God was in Jesus' words. Even at this late hour, many surrendered their hearts to the truth right then and there. To those new believers, Jesus said, Pursue what I've already said. Mine it for all it's worth. Live it. That's what my faithful students do. So, be faithful to it. As a result, the truth will no longer be a mystery to you. I will set you free to really live. Freedom from slavery. The religious crowd was indignant, turning up their noses. We've never been slaves to anyone. We're proud descendants of Abraham. We determine our own destiny. You think you're going to free us? That's exactly what I'm saying, Jesus replied. Anytime you mess up on even the tiniest issue, you prove that you're slaves to sin. And an evil slave won't be tolerated in the palace for long, much less should he expect an inheritance. It is the Son's eternal home and possession, and he won't tolerate sin under his roof. But if the Son sets you free from sin, you'll never be its slave again. You certainly look like Abraham's children, but you spend your time plotting my murder. Doesn't look like I'm very welcome in this house now, does it? And what does that show? That you know the title, but you haven't read the book. I act like my father. It would appear you're acting just like your own fathers. The religious leaders spat right back. Our father is Abraham the Great. Who's yours, you loser? Jesus ignored the barb and got in one of his own. You act nothing like him. How can you be his children when everything you do says just the opposite?
Pretty heated discussion ends
up
there.
It would seem. And the whole point of the depiction of these scenes through the dynamic gospel that we've done this way was to bring life to the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And to imagine the scene as it really was going on. The context matters.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are angry at each other, they say angry things in angry ways. They are angrily about their business. They're not just saying, oh, well, nice barb that was. How about this one, Jesus? We don't see that happening in real life around us. It didn't happen back then either.
Yeah.
It was vicious.
Right.
And Jesus stood the test. There's nothing, I think, about the demeanor of Jesus which would suggest that he was a wimp in any regard.
No, not at all.
But he also didn't indulge wickedness. At the same time, he knows that people do wicked things, but they're also slaves to sin.
Mm-hmm.
What does a liberator do but to liberate people from that which oppresses them?
Yeah.
So whether they know it or not, whether they recognize it or not, whether they will confess it or not, he will still be providing them, each individual person and all the people from history past and history to come, with that precious gift of forgiveness available to us in his blood.
Yeah.
We have to remind ourselves about this, that even if he, the person, reflecting all that is good about God in the flesh and making flesh good again, it's still something that is unfathomable to us that he could be all that at the same time.
Yeah.
And we have to let that remain the mystery that it really is. We don't know what it's like to be Jesus because we can't.
Well, sure.
But we do know what it's like to become like something over time. as changes occur in our hearts, as we allow God to change our minds, and then by that knowledge, change our attitude towards Him and change our choices and say, I don't know how, but I'm going to follow Him because I want Him more than anything else.
And we can't do it in our own strength. We can't make a decision to do it and then do it without the strength of the Holy Spirit through us. And that's the thing that I love about how God operates in our life. We take a step forward and then the Holy Spirit enables us to take another step forward and then another and another. And we begin to see the truth. We begin to see that there is a great truth to be pursued, and it actually begins to feel like freedom.
And it's solid. It's got substance to it. Some you can, like we say, sink your teeth into.
Yeah.
It's a real meal. Sitting through the past week or so watching some of the Olympic coverage and all those great rags to riches stories of people that have gone through incredible traumas just to get to where they're able to represent their country. And then those miracle breakthrough stories, speaking of sport, where someone who would never be expected to win doesn't just make it to the finish line, but actually wins gold. And there was a biker from Austria who won the first gold in like over 120 years for that country, who was a novice to the sport. She'd only been riding professionally like for like 4 years. And she managed to break away to a major race and won by 7 minutes or something ridiculous. And interviewing her, she was saying, there wasn't any pressure on me because nobody expected me to win. And there was something about that that said, I'm not beholding anybody. No one's looking at me expecting great things, but she knew that she could expect great things because she had faith. In this regard, it was kind of a simple faith. I've done everything that can be done, and I'm going to leave it all out there no matter what. That's a decision you make to go ahead and give it all. But she wasn't worried about her reputation or people's expectations of her. Nobody had expectations for her. You know, in the same way that we walk in our Christian life, a lot of times it feels like nobody expects much of me. Or they expect too much of me. But whatever is expected of me is wrong. It's never going to be able to add up. And we're stuck behind the math of who we're trying to impress or to please. Ourselves, because our ego is pricked, we want to show people that we're really worth something. Or we are burdened down with the pressures of others, expecting things beyond what we think is possible. In fact, another Olympian just went through that this past week. Simone Biles, probably the greatest living athlete, one of the greatest gymnasts of all time, stepped back and said, I can't even join the team for the last round because she was at the mental breaking point.
What Simone Biles did for the world by stepping back was even bigger than what she would have done had she stayed on.
Maybe 10 or 20 years down the road, they'll be talking more about her decision than even what she might have won.
There was a quote on her Instagram early in July before the Olympics started, and she says, whatever is good for your soul, do that. It seems that that's what she was doing. She stepped back because what was happening, all of the pressure, she's a young woman, all of the pressure on her was too much.
And she confessed that too
recently.
She did,
and she stepped back and she did what was good for her soul. We can take that illustration to heart because that's what Jesus is telling us here too. This is truth. The truth is good for your soul. Do that. Listen to the truth.
And the truth itself will set you free.
Sets you free.
And him being truth, he's the liberator. He is saying by these words, he is in fact the one they're looking for, the one who will liberate us from the burden of the guilt of sin, for all the pressures, all the expectations to be better than we are, we don't know if we can, all of the pressure that people that love us put on us, all the pressure the devil puts on
us. All that we put on ourselves.
And then we look at God and say, but I thought God was condemning me. God has never condemned us. Our sins have condemned us, but he doesn't, or he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Jesus did not walk around condemning people. When people started oppressing others and Jesus saw it, he stood for the oppressed.
He called them out.
He did. But he never, ever condemns others. Their sins do that for them. And that's something that even Christians who were born and raised in the church have a hard time comprehending sometimes, that God is not a condemner. He is a savior and a lover of our souls. And I want us to grab a hold of that truth today, especially.
Well, that's what Jesus is saying here precisely. Your sins is what keeps you enslaved.
Yeah.
And the truth of Jesus, the truth of what God is doing here, sets us free.
And he's living it out for us. And we'll talk more about that on the wrap-up to Chapter 8 on next Monday's program. In the meantime, folks, thank you so much for being part of the study with us. The Bible study notes for each of our chapters is available on our website at CompassionRadio.com. So we invite you to stop by anytime to pick up that in the podcast section, to follow the link and download your own Bible study copy. And we encourage you, of course, to be doing studies with someone you love or respect or both. Spend time in the Word and let each other bounce ideas and let the Spirit of God speak to you through each other and through His Word. It'll be a very enriching experience for you, too. I'm sure of that.
I would encourage you to do a Bible study with someone you'd like to get to know better, too.
Good.
That would be a great way to get to know somebody and hear their ideas and hear how the Spirit's talking to them.
And, of course, the version that we've been reading from, that's our special gift to you at Compassion Radio for your support of the ministry, is also available episodically in those Bible studies. So each one of those chapters we've printed out for you for free. And you can also get a copy of the book just by ordering that online with your gift to support Compassion Radio. Thanks again, friends, so much for being part of our team and being with us in this journey. We'll see you again tomorrow. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.